مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program, Ad-Durratul Farda, Sharhu Qasidatil Burda. This is the exclusive pearl detailing the stanzas of Qasida Burda. Alhamdulillah, Thumma Alhamdulillah. We've come to this particular segment, and the current stanza which we're busy with today is وَإِنَّ الضَّرُورَةَ لَا تَعْدُوَ عَلَى الْعِسَمِ. So yes, last week we discussed Zuhd, and the previous week Zuhd. Today we're discussing إِنَّ الضَّرُورَةَ لَا تَعْدُوا عَلَى الْعِصَمِ. For surely need never prevails the infallible. Ya Allama Abu Sayri Rahimullah is teaching us an important lesson. The lesson is of Isam. What is Isam? Infallible. Who are the infallible? It is the noble Anbiya alayhimus salam. The noble Anbiya alayhimus salam. They are the infallible, free from sin. And this is always an important portion of our aqidah, of our beliefs, which many go wrong. You saw the Christians, what did they do? They took Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and they put him above the position, the status which Allah azza wa jal has blessed him with. In life generally, if you want to be satisfied, you have to be happy with the decree of Allah azza wa jal. Let's recite together so we make these moments, we make it blessed, and together inshallah we can present this in front of Allah azza wa jal, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned and told us that whoever says these words, then wajabat lahul jannah. Jannah becomes wajib for this person. What are these words? Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin nabiyya wa rasoola sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's recite it together. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin nabiyya wa rasoola. I'm happy. Listen to the translation. And then psychologically let it have an effect on you. Raditu billahi rabba. I'm happy with Allah as sustainer. Wa bil islami deena. And I'm happy with Islam as religion. Wa bi muhammadin nabiyya wa rasoola. And I'm happy with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as messenger of Allah azza wa jal. Wajabat lahul jannah. A person will enter Jannah. If you're happy with Allah, you're happy with the decree of Allah. All these who are involved in all this algae and all of the rest, what is the key aspect? They are unhappy with the decree of Allah. That is the key aspect. All these who are, if you go on to this, who say that no, how come they question the rights that Allah azza wa jal has given to the menfolk and they want to equal it? So what are you, who are you questioning? You are questioning none other than your creator. But staying within those realms, within those positions, status which Allah azza wa jal has given you, and becoming successful in that which Allah azza wa jal has made you responsible for, you must do your key aspects, your key responsibilities, your duties. You fulfill that, then you will be successful. But when you are unhappy, like Shaitan, this is where it started off. He was unhappy. How come? How come? This keep this question. How come? How come? So often with my children, I make this joke with them, because always, you know, something is unfair. You got this and I got this and you got this, and how come I don't get this? And this whole thing continues one way. Always this dissatisfaction with the decree of Allah. And those who are happy with the decree of Allah, maybe, perhaps, definitely, their bank balances. I use all three, perhaps, definitely, because perhaps their bank balances could be flourishing, or could be the opposite. That's perhaps. But definitely, if you are happy with the decree of Allah, whether your bank balance shows major figures or it shows minimal figures or it shows no figures, definitely you will be happy with the decree of Allah, and you will be happy, satisfied. This is the beauty, and this flows from our previous lesson of Zuhd. When you have this, you are a happy person. Because money, plastic, buildings, all this doesn't happen. Allah's decree makes you happy. That's what it is. Allah has decreed this for me, I'm happy. Rada bil qada, the happiness with the decree of Allah. So feminists, what? They're always comparing. How come men folk got this? How come they can go to the masjid? How come? If you were happy with the decree of Allah, you wouldn't be questioning all of this. So that is the key aspect. It will solve so many issues in so many spheres of life, so many walks of life. When you have this happiness, rada bil qada, happiness with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. You've heard and you've seen more than 715 days of genocide. But did you ever hear these Palestinians questioning Allah, why us? Yes, they've been questioning the Arab leaders. They've been questioning you, O Muslimin. That's why one person said a beautiful statement yesterday, profound, thought-provoking. He said what? The whole world is Israel, besides for Palestine. Now, you just hear the statement and you're going to have this fluster. How could you make a statement like this? The whole world is Israel besides. So listen to the explanation. I was the same. That's how I responded, reacted. Like, how could you make this statement? The whole, we are Israelis. Astaghfirullah. He didn't mean that. He meant that we are all under their slave. We are all under their rulership and we've become their slaves in some way or the other. And he gave his evidence. Who runs the banks? He said, even Trump and Netanyahu, you can be like those US activists. And what they did, now we don't support any of these things. They are non-Muslims, so la ikraha fid din. There's no compulsion upon them. You can't tell them why you're taking pictures, why you. But they were doing this. They had a soccer match, and guess what the ball was made of? The ball was made of silicone. And whose head was it? It was Netanyahu's head. Over the weekend, Times of Israel reported this. And they didn't stop there. They went to the UN buildings and they projected this whole match, which they pre-recorded. And then they projected it on this UN building, Netanyahu's head being kicked around. Now you understand how, when you are cursed. But listen to this. Listen to this fact. The person said to me yesterday that, he told a group of us. He said that Netanyahu is one of the puppets. So whether it's him today or someone else tomorrow, the fact of the matter is those behind the scenes. We've always heard of Rockefeller and all these characters, but those calling the shots, and he He made the statement and he provided facts for it. Do you think, will you deal, I'm asking you, will you deal with a whole world against you if someone was not supporting you? There is someone definitely supporting them, telling them, carry out this, do this, say this, and they just need the guts, evil guts, to say it, and that's exactly what they're doing. The banks are run by them. The products, some you know, some you don't know. Those you know, you claim to boycott, but then after some time it becomes too difficult. So exactly who are the slaves of Israel is the question we have to go back to. Goes back to that. The whole world is Israel besides for Palestine. I'll just give you a little bit of information. This is my analogy. You can agree with it. You cannot agree with it. You can add to it. You can. If you look at the development of the rogue regime, this morning I was just taking out three facts. Look at these three facts. Which three facts? When was the rogue regime? When did it start? In the late 19th century. 1897, a man, Theodor Herzl, whatever his name is. He had his first meeting, and this is when it started. And developments took place thereafter. 1920, the Haganah gang, which is today called the IDF, that was developed then. So firstly, they needed an establishment, a political power. So that was, it came under the form of Zionism. They didn't have a government. You know, when we shared this with you, 1935, on the 15th of September, this was out there. Germans did not want. They were holding signs. Jews were banned from schools. They were banned from the entertainment sector. All of this was there under the rulership of Hitler. That's 1935. But before that, so we go to 1920. This is when the Haganah gang, which today is the IDF, they needed a military power. That's number two. They need a political power. They needed a military power. And number three, they needed a elite research university institute to then model what they are going to lie about and then make people believe their lies. So they needed an elite institute. And this all took place 1918 to 1925. 1918 it was founded, by 1925 it was opened. Three things they did. And if you take these three things, they deprived the entire Muslim world of this, besides for Palestine, because nobody wants to take them on. What are those three things? We said to you, the first thing is a movement, like you get Hamas, and that is what Hamas did. But we're saying, except they are the exclusion. The rest of the world, you are all slaves of the rogue regime. Because some way or the other, you are a slave of theirs, using their banks, using their... Does Gaza have any banks? Does Gaza have any of their products? They don't have no products. What products are you speaking about? Gaza has a military power and they are educating the world. So they, in my opinion, they are such, they are a living institute. Every blood drop that is going down, that is falling to the ground, that is filled with life, and it's reviving other institutes throughout the world. But still, they've deprived the world of any, before you can even think, they eliminate you. That is why nobody, besides for Gaza, Hamas, Qassam brigades, are taking them on. That is why you understood that statement. Now the whole world is Israel besides for Palestine. Meaning under some level or the other, you have become their slave. Now who is there that is going to tackle these three things? For you to then face head on. We're not speaking of Islamic institutes. We're speaking of institutes head on that is focused on the truth. Yes, they are, but those have a Shia agenda. So it's just bringing you back to where you are. So the need to equip ourselves with the correct information. So we go back and we ask you this question. What is the meaning of al-'isam? Isam, infallible. We said to you, the Christians, they took Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and placed him a level higher than he's supposed to be. Raised him to the status of God. Claimed, and for that, because of their so-called love, it's not love. Love is when you love what the person teaches and you practice it. That's love. But when you don't, and you go about lying and saying God had a son, just because you want to prove a point for whatever agenda it is, then that's very far from Isam. Anbiya alayhimus salam, they are human beings, they are not angels, and they are free from sin. This word Isam. Inna ad-darurata la ta'du 'ala al-isam, for surely need never prevails the infallible. Now we're going to speak on this here a little bit. Isam is what we want to focus on. Ma'soom, we say the Anbiya alayhimus salam are free from sin. But we need to provide evidence from the Quran Sharif. If you go to, I'm looking at the Urdu text, 410. Which kitab is this? Ad-Durratul Farda, Sharhu Qasidatil Burda. Our teacher, Mufti Ridaul Haqsab, Hafidhahullah. Whilst I was coming in now, bringing this kitab in, and I'm thinking, I wonder what lesson I'm going to learn today by our teacher. See, you constantly can continue your learning, because what happens when you have such teachers, what is the thing that you miss? You miss the teaching continuing. You miss those student days, but you can still relive it. I wouldn't say to the full degree, but to a certain degree by studying their kitabs and their books, because you already understood, you've understood their manhaj. Now we look here, and we see 10 proofs. There's 11 proofs given here. Page 410. The Urdu version. You get the Arabic. You get the, I don't think there's the English as yet. But you do get the Urdu. And there is page 410. You'll find Dala'il. Ismate Anbiya alayhimus salam ke chan Dala'il ye. You'll find it on there. So, what is the evidence? Someone comes and they ask you, give me evidence. The Shia Kuffar, for example, they come to you and they say that, see, we claim our imams are masoom, like how you people say prophets are masoom. So they ask you, what is the evidence that prophets are masoom? You need to give answers from the Quran Sharif, because they don't believe in the hadith. But forget them. Take them out of the picture. We don't need them. For our own sanity, what are those proofs and evidence to prove this? So we say, Anbiya alayhimus salam are masoom. And there's many proofs to prove this. Dala'il, let's look at number one. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in verse 161 of Surah Ali Imran, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَغْلُ وَمَن يَغْلُ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ So how do we translate this verse? Look at Ma'riful Quran, the English. And it is not conceivable for a prophet to misappropriate the spoils. This word ghalla, for the lovers of Arabic, you'll appreciate this. Ghalla yaghullu. We translate it as specifically khianat, misappropriation with regards to spoils of war. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَغُلْ وَمَن يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. In one, less than half, less this verse here continues. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Then everybody shall be paid in full what he has earned, and they shall not be wronged. So that's the end of the... But if you look at the beginning of the verse, 161 Surah Al Imran. You have a Musaf close to you, open it. Let's look at it together. It is not conceivable, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَغُلْ. It is not conceivable for any prophet, Nakira is used here. Nakira is what in English grammar? Indefinite. Indefinite noun. So you get definite and indefinite. Easy, simple terms. It's not specified which prophet, linabiyin, and there's ways in grammar, Arabic grammar, to prove this here. So we understand, O Arabic lovers, nakira has come after what? After nafi. Wama kana linabiyin. So nabiyin is nakira. And what has it come after? What precedes it? Ma. Wama kana linabiyin. So that ma is what? Nafi. Negation. It cannot be possible. It is not conceivable for a prophet to misappropriate the spoils. So what are we proving here? We are proving what? That the Anbiya alayhimu salam are masoom, they are free from sin. But here you may raise this question and say, but spoils is used here, it's specific here for spoils of war. Well, Mufti Ridaul Haqsab answers this question and says, Ghulul ke do mana hai. There's two types of misappropriation. Mal ghanimat mein khiyanat karna. Mal ghanimat mein khiyanat karna. So that is in your spoils of war to misappropriate what we've been discussing. That's one. And two, mutlaq khiyanat karna. Randomly, generally, to make khiyanat. So what's our evidence to say that this year is umum, this is general, it's not specific only for funds or misappropriation of spoils of war? So his Mufti Sahib says here, yaha nakira nafi ke baad waqi hai. Isliye usme umum hai. Aur murad mutlaqan khiyanat hogi. So here, nakira comes after nafi. Nakira comes after nafi. Indefinite noun comes after negation. The negation letter, ma, word, harf, ma. So this, and when this happens, it creates that sense of umum, general speech. Any prophet, and it's with regards to khiyanat in any way, Anbiya alayhi muslim are free from it. So that's your first evidence. Verse 161, Surah Al-Imran. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَغُلْ وَمَن يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So there we saw it. Let's move on. Number two. If you look at it, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 80. May yuti'i rasul, whoever follows the rasul, faqad ata'a Allah. Then indeed, surely, he has followed who? He has followed He has followed, he has obeyed Allah. Whoever's obeyed the Rasul, he has obeyed Allah. So question comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair. He is free from sin. He is free from oppression. In the same way, Anbiya alayhimu salam, they are free from disobedience. They are free from committing, perpetrating crimes. So this is why, may yuti'i Rasul, whoever obeys the Rasul, faqad ata' Allah. Then he's obeyed Allah. Things are understood by its opposites. Now, if you made just any general human being, I'm saying people do this, they worship their peers and the rest. You make them and you take them to that status. And tomorrow they do some illegitimate crime. What are you going to say then? You cornered. How could you follow someone? So from the beginning, we say we are ordinary mortals. We are not free from sin. For us, we say, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Insan was created weak. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِنَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every son of Adam alayhi salam is sinners, and the best of sinners are the repenters. That's for us. Anbiya alayhimu salam, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَغُلْ. It is not possible, it is inconceivable for any prophet to make khianat. And we showed you how it becomes umum, general, in any crime. One. Then we forgot to mention to you their khianat and this misappropriation. It comes in three types. Fil qawl, fil amal, fil qalb. Fil qalb meaning fil aqidah. So in speech, in action, and in belief. Anbiya alayhimu salam on all three were free from sin. They were free from misappropriation. They were free from falsehood. And that is one reason why we say masum. That was our first. Second, may yuti'i Rasul, faqad ata' Allah. Whoever obeys the Rasul, he has obeyed Allah. Will Allah Azza wa Jal tell you to follow and obey someone who makes, wa na'udhu billahi min dhalik, to even say that, but who makes blunders of and intentional crimes and the rest? No. They free from it. So may yuti'a Rasul faqad ata' Allah. Whoever obeys the Rasul, he obeys Allah. Number two, we said to you. Number three, وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whoever disobeys Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, faqad ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Surah Al-Ahzab. And here we are looking at verse 36. If you're looking in the kitab, Ad-Durratul Farda, 410 is where we're busy with. Suratul Nisa, verse 80, was the previous verse we did. May yuti'a Rasul faqad ata' Allah. And now we're busy with proof number 3. Wa may ya'si Allah wa Rasulah. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they have come into a open, clear deviation. Surah Al-Ahzab, you will see that it says verse 14. You can just make a note there, it's not verse 14, it's verse 36. We checked it, it's verse number 36 of Surah Al-Ahzab. And here it's written, agar nabi guna karke dalal ka mahal ban jaye, to hidayat par kon hoga? Mufti Saab mentioned, Mufti Ridaul Haq Saab mentions, asked this question. If a Nabi is, wa na'udhu billahi min dhalik, we must say this. Naqlul kufr, laysa al-kufr. Naqlul kufr, laysa bi kufrin. That's what we say. Naqlul kufr, laysa bi kufrin. So yeah, if a person, or if a prophet, rather we say, he is, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ, it's hard to say these words, because we know they are masoom. But, just for your understanding, if they had to be on the other and promoting things that is not in line with the Sharia and not, then how are they ever going to guide anybody? This is the question we have to raise. So that's proof number three. Number four. So here we are busy with Surah An-Nisa, and this year is correct. This is verse number 14. وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, whoever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. See, Prophet is mentioned here. And they, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, they cross the limit set by Allah. يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, he shall, Allah will enter him into the fire forever and ever, and he will remain there forever. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for him there is a humiliating punishment. An important aqidah here as well. Understand this well. You lived as a Muslim. This is, to a degree, it gives happiness. You lived as a believer. You did not reject any of the teachings of Islam. You did not act ignorantly in terms of abusing verbally or any way the teachings of Islam, the principles of Islam, the fiqh of Islam. You have respected all. Maybe you were not a practicing believer. Perhaps you were even an alcoholic. Perhaps you were even the worst of its kind. But you knew what you were doing was wrong, to the point that you even committed suicide. But you knew and understood it to be wrong. Then one day you will enter into Jannah. So when it mentions about Khalidan, it means a long period you will be in. Who wants to be and suffering for so long? One burn and you scream today. Imagine staying for such long periods in the fire of Jahannam. And so that's one. You stayed as a believer and you passed away in that state. Even though you're not practicing, there's hope for you to go to Jannah. But who wants to, in life as well, we want the best. Who wants to just stay at the bottom? Why, when it comes to our search for Akhirah, we don't have that spirit mentioned in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions all the different verses on Jannah. And then Allah entices you. It is in this that competitors compete for. So here's another proof. We mentioned to you verse number, we're looking at verse 14, Surah An-Nisa. وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and crosses, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, he crosses the limit set by him. يُدْخِلُ نَارٌ خَالِدًا فِيهَا, he shall admit him, Allah will admit him to the fire, remaining there forever. And for him there is a humiliating punishment. Now, here's another question Mufti Saab raises. Ye na farmani ki siza. This is based on disobedience, you get this punishment. So, Anbiya alayhimus salam, they are not worthy of the fire. They haven't been disobedient. Those who are disobedient, they have to enter the fire. So, if you hold this belief of Anbiya alayhimus salam are not masoom, they are not free from sin, then actually what you are saying is that whoever acts in this particular manner, nafarmani, disobedience. In fact, the verse is telling you, you must, whoever acts disobedient to Allah and His Rasul, they to enter into Jahannam forever. Rasul is included. And this is for who? For those who act disobediently to Rasul. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This proves again and strengthens this fact that Anbiya alayhi salam are masoom. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, which verse are we looking at? Verse 124. My promise does not extend to the dhalimeen. The dhalimeen are the oppressors. The dhalimeen, la yanalu ahdi. My promise does not extend to who? Al-dhalimeen, to the unjust. But Allah has made them prophets. So if you had to come with your argument to say that Anbiya alayhi salam are not masoom, then here again we prove it from this point, from this angle. Allah has promised them so much. Allah in this verse is addressing who? Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Meaning Anbiya alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. My promise extends to you. But the dhalimeen, no. It can even be from the children of prophets, as we've seen. Nuh alayhi salam. So this year, you can have so many verses presented in this manner. If you look at Surah As-Saffat, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions about the Anbiya alayhi salam here as well. Surah As-Saffat. And you are looking at verse 1 or you're looking at verse 47. Surah As-Saffat, chapter 37. And you are looking at exactly verse 47. In fact, here it's telling me verse 47, the reference that's given in this kitab, we'll have to adjust it and correct it. So let's check which verse is this so we can correct it together. Wa innahum indana, Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning, wa innahum indana laminal mustafin al akhyar. So it's not Surah As-Saffat. It says Surah As-Saffat, yeah? You can just take out all those letters and keep the Sad because it's in Surah As-Sad. It's Surah Sad. Surah Sad and verse 47. That's where we're looking at. These are small, minor mistakes sometimes. It's just the references. The verses are all as it is. So we just need to adjust those references. Surah Sa'd is chapter number 38. And we're looking at verse 47. وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفِينَ وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. And surely they are in our sight among the chosen, the best of the righteous. وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. Allah is referring to the Anbiya alayhi salam. And surely they are in our sight among the chosen, the best of the righteous. This is all extending to previously you've seen all the mention of prophets. Look at verse 45 in Surah Sa'd. وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. And then Allah mentions إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. We chose them for a trait of remembering the home, the eternal home, in the year after. ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. And then this verse comes in, وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. And surely they are in our sight among the chosen, the best of the righteous. Surah Sa'd, verse 47. In this book, Ad-Durratul Fardah, page 410, if you look at this verse where it's written, it's Dalil evidence number 6. You just have to adjust it. Surah As-Saffat, it's mentioned, but that's incorrect. It's Surah Sad, verse 47 we're looking at. Another evidence Mufti Saab, Mufti Ridaullah Saab gives. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. Do you instruct people with goodness? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And you forget yourselves. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 44. The note. Agar anbiya gunah kare, to wo us wa'id mein dakhil hoge. If anbiya alayhi salam, in your argument to say that they are not ma'asum, but rhetorically speaking, in that particular argument you say, then this verse tells us, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. You instruct the people with good, وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, and you forget yourselves. So they would be part and parcel of this instruction or this consequence. Therefore, it cannot be so. Another one. Is alam mein do'i jamaate hai. Number 8 we're looking at. In this worldly life, there's two groups. Hizbullah and Hizbul Shaitan. There's two groups. You can't, there's no in between. You're either part of Hizbullah. We're not speaking of, no, we're not speaking of them. Hizbullah. No. That's Hizbul Shaitan in essence. Because they're part and parcel of the Kufar Shia promoting their agenda. We're speaking of Hizbullah that is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. We are not speaking of the army group Hizbullah. They call themselves Mujahideen. We don't call them Mujahideen. We're speaking of Hizbullah. That's where they got their names from. They took it from the Quran Sharif. Take LGBTQ. This is just an example. They took the rainbow and they're claiming that's their identity now. With the different colors. So when you look at the rainbow outside in the sky and your family is there, your child is there, are you going to say, oh, my child, don't look at the rainbow because this is a sign of LGBTQ. It's in the sky. Allah has put it out there for you to see, to take benefit from. La ayatil li ulil albab. These are major signs for who? For the men of intelligence. So you tell your child, no, don't look at that because it's a sign of LGBT. No. They took it from there. You will say this is a sign of Allah which they've hijacked. And this, they've put their stain and their filth on it. But that there in the sky, that is from Allah. It still holds its beauty. But they had to choose something that resonates even with children. That's how they operate. So Hizbullah is from the Quran Sharif. But they took this name and they twisted it for their own agenda. But Hizbullah is still Hizbullah in the Quran Sharif. That is what we're referring to here. Not so you get Hizbullah and Hizbul Shaitan. You can check this. This is mentioned in Suratul Mujadala, verse 19 and 22. You can check the references for this here. And the note here is Agar Ma'asiyat. Ka sudur anbiya alayhi salam se ho to Hizbullah mein shumar kaise hoge. If ma'asiyat ka sudur, if this ma'asiyat which is sin and perpetrating all of, if it was attached and it was entrenched with anbiya alayhi salam, then they wouldn't be considered to be part of Hizbullah. And Anbiya alayhi wasalam are part first of Hizbullah. The real Hizbullah, we must clarify. Just now you take that statement out of context. And you know, you trim that portion and you say, check, he's promoting Hizbullah. We say that Hizbullah is Hizbul Shaitan. The one in the Quran Sharif, the one referring to Anbiya alayhi wasalam, and the real Hizbullah, those are the true ones. Number 9, Shaitan. Shaitan has taken an oath and he stressed this, that he's going to manipulate, he's going to lead astray everyone except the mukhlisin. Go and check Surah Al-Hijr, check verse 40. It's 11 o'clock, we're going to end now. You can see the evidence is there. Surah Al-Hijr, verse number 40. illa ibadak minhumul mukhlasin. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions all of them except for those Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has chosen. So this again points to this fact, illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin, except those of your servants from among them who are chosen by Allah. Anbiya alayhimus salam are chosen. If you saying that they are not, that means that it's possible for shaitan to twist and lead them astray, which is impossible. Anbiya alayhimus salam are masoom. Again, you look at the incident of Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and this year is, we leave it as this, as proof number 10. كَذَٰلِكَ Allah Azza wa Jal says, we did, specifically speaking of Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam. كَذَٰلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءُ وَالْفَحْشَاءُ. This we did to turn away from him evil and lewdness. So all of that was turned away from Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam. Innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin. We just mentioned to you just now about mukhlasin. Allah says about Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam, surely he is among our chosen slaves. Another evidence for this. And let's just give you a cherry on the top. If you look at Surah Al-Hajj, verse 78, a Rasul must be a witness against you. A witness, when you choose a witness, mustn't the witness always have signs of just, being fair? So Allah says, هَذَا لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ. So this is it. So that the messenger becomes a witness to you. Alhamdulillah. So those are your 10, and then we added 11, all mentioned here in Ad-Durratul Farda, Sharhu Qasidatul Burda, the book. You can look at verse or page 410. We've come to the end. The 10 proofs, evidence of what? Of the Anbiya alayhi salam being masoom. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.